Accession number 28879, reel number 1.
Right. So what can you tell me your date of birth? That's a good place to start, isn't it?
20th of September 1918.
20th of September 1918. So just before the end of the First World War, isn't it?
No, just after.
Is it September?
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. When was the end?
It must have been November.
November.
Because it's the 11th of November, isn't it?
The 11th, that's right, 1918.
Right.
So that's how they even thought of that. I always thought it was just after the war, but it was just before. Yeah,
that's true.
The mother and father were married in 1916. I've got the photograph somewhere, but...
Right.
They married. I don't know where it is. You know where it is? No.
Where were you living? Where were you born then?
In Plymouth, yeah. At the Raglan Barracks Hospital, Military Hospital,
Raglan Barracks.
It's where that was, right on the, opposite the gates of Mount Wise. The gates there.
Yeah.
And Raglan Barracks itself, although there's a lot of it disappeared now.
Yeah.
And that was in 1918. I forget now whether my wife was living in the barracks. I don't think she, her mother was living in the barracks, but I think she was living at home.
Mm-hmm. So her family
in High Street, yeah, because that was her mother, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Because father was still travelling around then a lot.
Well, was he in France?
No, he was home by then. In fact, he was all standing by to go to India then.
Right.
He went to India in 1919.
And your father was in the Northamptonshire?
Northamptonshire Regiment, yeah.
What?
He was there during the war as well with the Northamptonshire Regiment. He was an old contemptible. He went there in 1914. At Mons, trying to stem the Germans at Mons. Remember the retreat at Mons,
yes,
as he called it? He was in that. He got the badge up, actually. Not many of them about now.
So he went through 4 years.
I just didn't watch.
Okay. You say it, chip in if you like.
That's Pop's medals from the First World War. You got the AMM at Da Vinci.
How long had he been in the army then?
In 1906, he joined the army.
Right.
I've got his paybook there, actually.
So was he a senior NCO by the time
I think he was a corporal by the time of Mons. And this is the old contemptible, if you remember that the Kaiser said, described the British Army Expeditionary Force as this contemptible little army.
Mm-hmm.
And that formed the old contemptibles afterwards. I don't think there's any of them alive now.
Probably not.
There are a couple of old chaps left, over 100, I think, aren't there?
Gosh.
So that's not worth a lot to anybody else, but it is for historians and things like that, and nobody collects them, isn't it? So
yes.
About that part.
It certainly is, isn't it?
I've been going over things, and of course it's... I can't remember where they are now.
Aha! Was he wounded at all, your father?
Yes, twice he was wounded. He was put on the charge of hitting an officer when he got back. You see, he had his right arm in a sling, and then just to go out for the night, he had it tucked into his jacket. And the officer stopped him because they're pretty strict in those days, and wanted to know why he didn't salute it. So the father didn't answer. And he asked him again, he said, Because I can't. And he said, why can't you? And he didn't want to sit me wounded. And he told me after, eventually he told him he was wounded. The officer said, I don't care about that. He said, you salute an officer. And Pop just came up, they left down and hit him. And he got away with it, yeah. Well, really? He was on charge, but...
Yeah, discipline was a bit, quite hard in those days, wasn't it?
Now, this is his book. It's 1906. Private.
Gracious me.
19 years old. Just a bit younger than I was when I joined that.
So he's in his 30s. He's around 30-odd when you're...
Yes, he was born in 1983. So he's getting on a bit then.
Yeah, yeah.
Things weren't so good. But to accept that sort of wage, that's what they get in. They got their shilling when they joined up in those days, remember? I don't know what the rest of it means, but threepence. Service pay.
And your rum ration.
Is there rum ration?
No, I don't know, it doesn't say, but...
Stoppage allowance, what that means. But core pay and engineer's pay. He made an allotment to his mother, and it was how he could make an allotment.
On that money, yeah.
7 shillings a week.
Wow.
Net rate of pay has been reduced or raised to 11.
Well, that
11
money,
shillings a week.
That money would be taken round to your mum?
But they paid it to his mum, that is.
Or she'd go and collect it, yeah.
They'd send it. I did the same in this war anyway. I'd made an allotment of the pay.
Right.
To my mother.
Right.
Now there, you can trace him for a while. This is 1914.
Rouen.
He got paid there. That must have been after... After Mons,
when
he retreated back, you know. And then he came back to Northampton on the 11th, 1914. So
in November, yeah. So that must be, yeah. But it started in August, didn't it?
Oh no, this is before. That's right. That's right.
Mm. Yeah, Northampton. Right.
But look at the pay: 2 shillings, £2 there, but ten shillings. He probably. Didn't say anything about rank here, of course.
There's
the same company there, the majors. That's about all on that, but there were a couple of others at one time. Short form of will, he never filled that in. But.
Right.
And then look at a few, how old that is, 1906.
That's,
Brilliant, isn't it?
That's lovely to see that, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, all sorts of things there, but, And that's a book of his regiment, history of the early days of the regiment.
Of the Northamptonshire.
And even the description of the Battle of Quebec there, when they took Quebec.
Right.
The 58th of Foot, it was called then. Yeah.
The 58th.
From the...
Quebec, from the French, sailing on the River St. Lawrence, has a naturally strong position in our own
just how history describes it, isn't it? It went up the cliff and eventually
in those days you had to learn the history of the regiment, didn't you?
Pardon?
In those days you learned you were taught the history of the regiment.
Oh yes, I suppose they were. This is, I don't know when this was printed. But didn't tell you earlier. That's what it's printed.
Yeah, the guardsman that I interviewed said once a week they got the officer would come along and give them a history of the guards.
Oh, in that case, yes, they did teach you a bit of pride in the regiment, the history of it. Yeah, that's far too long ago, isn't it?
Wow.
That's that was a passport the mother. They took out when they went to visit Reggie's grave in Holland.
In Holland. It's a fine moustache he had, isn't it?
Yeah, it's typical bloody moustache, that was, you know, how it is.
He kept that, did he, all his life?
Yes, right till he died, yeah.
Was he what you'd think of as a soldier in those days? He was the typical, regular...
Oh, he was a regular soldier, he was strict and everything else. He wasn't strict in the house in that sense, you know, but... He kept things in order, you know.
He was proud of the regiment.
He was definitely proud of the regiment, no doubt.
Mm-hmm. And this is your mum.
Mm-hmm. And she was just the opposite, you know, genteel type of girl, woman.
Played the piano?
Yeah, played the piano. And they were taught in piano a lot in those days, you know.
Yeah.
Girls,
and
she was exceptional, though, because although she read music and everything else, she refused to play by music eventually. And just went by ear. She was a bit lazy in that sense. She just played everything by ear. Right. But she had to more or less play it over in the first place. But when you play a piano for a long time, the same as the mouth organ,
mm-hmm.
you reach the note automatically. So if you know a tune, you can go to the piano and play it straight off with your fingers.
Right.
You know exactly where your fingers are going and everything.
So, yeah.
So she only had to learn the tune and to play it over. But she was in great demand everywhere.
So what did she do with her time? Presumably she didn't work, or...
Oh, no, she was a Sunday school teacher.
Uh-huh.
As far as I know, she didn't work at all, no. She was a Sunday school teacher, and she used to help out at the Trinity School, which is a church as well,
mm-hmm.
at the same time, but as far as I know. I don't remember much more. But I know that she was all for education and things like that, you know. She taught me to read and everything else.
And she was Plymouth born and bred?
Yeah, she was Plymouth.
So how did she meet your father from the North End?
He was stationed at Raglan Barracks at one time, so they must have met there then.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
In Northamptonshire.
So he
I believe,
and your father came home before the end of the war then? Or was he back when you were born? Do you remember?
I can't remember whether he was back when I was born, but I know in 1916 they were married.
Right.
And he went to France again, I know, because I got some cards somewhere where he sent some cards home, you know, the old cards I used to send home, very sentimental one.
Yeah, 1916 is the
Somme,
isn't it?
One of them was 17, one of them 1917.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one, a card saying that I am well, everything else. They couldn't send the messages, but they sent the card saying, I am well, and they used to cross off the various phrases, you know.
Yeah.
Just, I am well, I am not wounded, and that sort of thing. And that's all. So
right.
They weren't allowed to write letters, I think.
No, it was all censored, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. That was the big bugbear in our time, too, with the censorship. All our letters had to be censored, didn't they?
Yes. And they were quite ridiculous sometimes,
yes,
I think.
They were. Even if you sent a telegraph home to my mother one time. And for some reason, it was I had to say certain things, you know, it was complicated and it seemed a bit long. And I had to go before an officer eventually and explain it all. Ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah.
There was a sergeant, medals up and everything else, and they go and question that. But it was taken to a ridiculous extreme sometimes. You know. But there again, it was justified in some senses, you know. It was spy for everyone.
Do you think your mum was happy with the army one?
Well, it was different, yeah. Favourite phrase of my grandmother, after the paper, mother of anybody who's home. She went to the dairy
in India.
She had three children there as well.
That's quite a hard life.
Yeah, quite a hard life. And quite a few of the wives were invalided home.
Right.
And a favourite phrase of my grandmother was, India ruined my maid. So she was always saying that, you know. So.
Yeah. No, I'm malaria.
She must have been a lot healthier before she went. You know. But there again, she must have been fairly strong anyway, you know, to survive it anyway.
Did that malaria come back every so often? It can come back every 7 years, can't it? And
it did with my father.
Right.
After a while, but it passed off over. But my mother had it for a while. But then she had a lot of other debilitating illnesses as well, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was.
When did you go to India?
1919.
Oh, so you're only... You're a baby when you went to India.
Yes, that's what I said. I don't remember anything about going. I remember, I know the ship was in Euralia. The ship we came home on was the Navassa.
Right.
That's a hospital ship.
Uh-huh.
At that time, it was a hospital ship. And the matron was in charge of all the wives, you know, the mm-hmm. wives who were ill.
Mm.
And of course, she was in charge of the children. She was a bit of a Tartar, too. And some of the boys and girls there with the... We were always up to mischief, you know, right. Missing breakfast, late for breakfast. And she tried to cut off our breakfast and they wouldn't have that because we went into the kitchen and pinched buns and things like that. So yeah, quite a handful, you know. But
When your mum was invalided home, did you come home with her?
Yeah, I came home with her, with her brother and two sisters.
And this is 1928?
1927, 28.
So your earliest memories are in India, I suppose.
Yes, from the age of about six, I remember that. My mother often said that you always remember things now. It was when I was about six.
Yeah.
And that was, we were up in Dagshire then, and we had I was at school. We had a little school there up then.
Attached to the barrack?
The sales station, yeah, the attached to the barrack.
Was it the full battalion?
The whole battalion. And the troops used to go off across the ravine. It was against the Afghans. They were fighting the Afghans then, or rather restraining them, you know. Mm-hmm. And they used to go across.
Was this near
across
the Khyber Pass?
Or near the Khyber Pass, yeah. I've mentioned quite often. And they were there taking their turn in the line there. And of course, the Murray family is this side of the ravine. In this case, they had bungalows then, in those days. And it was a barrack square, and I remember the barrack square, and a little hut, which is the schoolhouse, hut with a little veranda. And this morning they're teaching. There weren't many children there then. There were about just a small class, that's all it was, if I remember.
Was the battalion about 800 men?
Usually 1,000 men.
1,000 men? At full strength. Yeah.
Pop was
is it the 1st Battalion, Northamptonshire's?
2nd Battalion.
2nd Battalion, Northamptonshire.
Pop was what they call the pioneer sergeant. He's in charge of the upkeep of the barracks and everything else.
Uh-huh.
And whenever the battalion was moving, they'd go on ahead. That's why they were called pioneer sergeant, I think. They'd go on ahead to the barrack,
make sure
the barrack prepared.
Uh-huh.
And one of the jobs of the being prepared was to employ a local native to go around the huts and the barracks and all that, looking for snakes. Well, if there were cobras, they were everywhere. They weren't swarming everywhere, but they could be found anywhere, you know. And they go around.
Was that like being a company sergeant, or was it just a regular sergeant?
Pioneer sergeant. No, they called the pioneer sergeant. He was attached to HQ.
Right. So it's quite a good job.
It was quite a good job. They had his own workshop. And three or four men under him as well, you know.
He's quite responsible.
He's all the carpentry, upkeep of the barracks, and anything else that needed upkeep, you know.
Right. Did you spend much time with him, or?
I used to spend. I remember Lahore, for example. That was a well-organised barracks there.
Mm-hmm.
And they spent quite a bit of time there.
What, when he's at work?
I was about 6 or 7 then. And he used to go out shooting with others, shooting buck and other things.
Right.
I used to go out with them now and again, sometimes, you know.
Uh-huh.
But the other thing was the snaking. It's every now and again they'd come around, there'd be a scare about a snake being seen here, you see.
Mm.
And they'd get hold of this Pakistani snake handler, or whatever he was, and he'd go around with my father.
Mm-hmm.
The father had to go with him, or one of them had to go with him, because he got so much per head, per snake, you see, that they caught in the they picked them up anywhere. They're very well trained with snakes, the Pakistanis.
Well,
so. Oh,
yeah, I suppose they have to be.
They know how to handle them and sell. They catch them and sell them to snake charmers and things like that.
Was there dysentery and so malaria? Was it quite a lot of disease with people going? Do you remember?
I remember. I remember my mother being in bed quite a lot, especially in Lahore, and then
Lahore's lower down, was it? It's
when the baby, when the Phyllis, the last one, was born, she had a bad time there, and I remember them talking about it.
Yeah.
I remember she was in hospital then, because there was a hospital at Lahore.
Uh-huh.
She was just outside the city, and I went with the father one day to see her, and she was crying, and I didn't know anything what was going on at the time.
Mm.
And the baby was in the cot then, and father was upset as well. And anyway, he caught hold of my hand and took me out and brought me home. Never said anything more. But afterwards, I didn't realise until we got home back to England, the way your wife behaved made him think the baby was dead. And there was a telegram somewhere, but we got it. He sent to, that would have been a shock from her grandmother as well, you see.
Yeah.
But it turned out that she wasn't dead. She got over it all right. A few years after she lived.
Were you the oldest?
I'm the oldest. Yeah.
And there were three more born.
So daughter, the sister, and brother Reg, the one who died.
Yeah.
And Phil, they were all born in India. All the other three.
Right.
I can't remember quite where. This was Lahore, where Phil was born, because I remember then I was getting on for about 7 or 7 years old then. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did you have to look after the younger ones as the oldest? And
well, the thing is, we always had a bobbergy.
A bobbergy?
A bobbergy and an ayah, that's a cook.
Right.
Each family had a bobbergy and a cook.
Even privates?
Pardon?
Privates,
I
too.
Yeah, I think so. Well, it's difficult to remember, though, but the privates were all private sergeants and corporals were all billeted together in the right family. Mm-hmm. There was no distinction there. Only the officers lived separately, and officers were. But that brings up another thing, too. The pop was on the charge again this time for tracking and threatening an officer with a revolver. This officer was supposed to make a pass at my wife, at my mother. And he went after him then, but they restrained him. They managed to stop him, but
he's a bit of a character.
Well, he was, no doubt about it.
Have you got away with it again?
Yeah, he got away with it, yeah, well, I suppose. But afterwards, I remember, it's a stretching things a bit now. When I got back to, after being a prisoner of war, I got back to Northampton, and there was in the barracks, the same barracks that he joined up from eventually.
Right.
And I was there one day, I forget, I was instructing, they put me on instructing troops and things, you know, they're a different thing. And the RSM, he's a bit of a Tartar, a regimental sergeant major. He came up to the, came striding up the one day, and he said, "Sergeant Moss," he said, "I knew another Sergeant Moss," he said, was he called Dylan? I said, "Yes, Dylan." He said, "Well," he said, "I was in India with your father," he said.
Oh.
He's the same rank, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a bit of a Tartar with the RSM, but after what he found out, was
Dylan's boy, you were right.
Yeah, very well, yeah.
So did, I mean, because, I mean, he'd been in there, he'd been a regular soldier so long and fought through the, did he have a certain, could he get away with a little bit more as a...
It could have been that, yeah, of course he was an MM as well, you know, but...
MM, he's an old man.
You know, they were quite common MMs during the First World War, especially, but...
Right.
To earn a medal like that, well, it put you up in status a bit.
Yeah.
It helped a bit.
Yeah.
But he was never what they call interborder, and in that sense, you know, he was always regular. He was never imprisoned or anything like that. He always got away with it for some reason.
Good for him. So you came home with your mother in 1928. Did he stay with the battalion?
He stayed with the battalion because they were due to go to Khartoum. In fact, they sailed for Khartoum afterwards. They sailed on another boat. And he went to Khartoum and they came home again. And we met him at North Road Station. And 1929, I think, was when he came home, the regiment came home.
Did you go to church in India? Did all ranks have to attend church?
Pardon?
Did you have to attend church on Sundays?
Well, there was compulsory church service, yeah. The
church parade.
Band and everything else, yeah. Whenever they were more or less reasonably organised, there was always a band playing, the church service.
Sunday
compulsory
best?
Compulsory service, yeah.
And you'd have Sunday school in the morning? Or would that be after?
Yeah, we had the Sunday school. This was at Karachi. We were stationed at Karachi before I came home, and I was 9 or 10 then. I remember a lot about that place, because we had the Boy Scouts form, Scouts and everything else. And
right.
And that's, I remember a lot about that. It was the barracks there with the village just outside the barrack, and all the employees lived in the village, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we used to go in and play with them and everything else, and Was there quite a
range of children there? I mean, were there sort of children of men there who were 12 or were there older children?
Well, there were children older than me, I remember that, yes, but not much older, you know.
And you all went to the one school?
Oh, we went to one school, yeah. In this case, it was just the one lady. She travelled with us most of the time. She was called Miss Mormon, and I think she was a wife of one of the officers.
Uh-huh.
Whether she was a regular teacher, I don't know.
The
troops had lessons because Pop used to talk about it sometimes, you know, about this teacher didn't know what he was talking about. It was an army teacher.
Right.
So I'm not sure when the
reading and writing or
army educational corps was formed.
It developed in the First World War.
It did develop.
Yes.
Well, that's what it was.
Because they needed engineers and with the tanks, you needed mechanics, you needed... They started to need more technical men during the First World War. And during the after the First World War, they carried it on. They knew that they needed better trained men, you know. Yeah, when they started developing the Air Force, you needed more and more technical... And you needed educated troops.
Well, we came up against the army teachers when we came to Aldershot in the barracks. When Pop came home, he was with us just for a few weeks at all, and then we moved with the battalion up to
Aldershot.
Colchester first.
Uh-huh.
And there, in the schools there, there were the army sergeants, so they were the teachers.
Right.
And the officers were the headmasters. Remember them there, in fact. And then we went to...
Do you think it was a reasonable education that you had then, by this, you know, the normal standard sort of thing? Or
I liked it. I liked it because I took to it quite a bit, in fact.
Uh huh.
No, that's the daughter's, but I've got one here. Somewhere. I was good at. Composition. Yeah, remember them saying that.
Composition?
Yeah.
Right.
What's this one? Yeah, the Hague Elder Boys School, the Elder Shop.
William Moss has attended his school for most over a year. He is in Standard 7 and is a neat, clean worker. Is very... very
painstaking,
steady, has always been well behaved.
That was the last report for just after that, 1932. I left the army then, and I came to Plymouth.
Right, so you are
before that was in Colchester and then Aldershot. But I was just trying to see.
So you're 14 when he left.
Is there a rank there? Is it captain thing?
Head teacher.
Caulfield it is.
Yeah, R. Caulfield, I think.
No, it's not. It wasn't his rank, but all the teachers were sergeants.
Right.
And I can't remember the headmaster so much at all.
Why did he leave the army?
Well, he finished his service. He'd done 26 years then, I think.
Right.
Yeah, 26, 27 years.
What rank did he come out at?
Came out as same sergeant, pioneer sergeant.
Right.
I put out his commanding officer's report before he left. I've got that somewhere, but I see it's scattered all over now.
Yeah.
But they were good times then, you know, in Aldershot, in the barracks and everything else. Also in Colchester.
Mm-hmm. And your mother's health
never recovered? She lived till she was, died in 1970, so she was born in 1971.
That was
1879.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Yeah.
So she lived well, but she was always on oval team, and she never had a real appetite, never had very little, and always very slim, wasn't she? Always thin.
Mm.
And then she had this, she just deteriorated rapidly one time. And she came back on a bus trip, I think it was. She didn't know where she was. Very vague and everything else.
Fever? Like malaria or again?
I didn't
or?
Say what it was, no. But, I don't even know what the cause of death was, no. It was on the certificate.
Right.
It was due to heart failure and general deterioration, you know.
And she'd had a hard life, though, hadn't she? I mean, during the war and the First World War, food wasn't the best, was it? And
having two sons missing in this war as well, you know.
Yeah, that would take it out of you, wouldn't it?
Mm. Although she never, she's a bit like me, she never showed her feelings a lot.
Right.
No, she always just kept quiet.
Do you remember eating well? Did you ever go hungry?
No, I don't remember going hungry at all. I must have had a lot of curry, although I can't remember. Because I remember, as I told you before about the cook, you know, one of his favourite sayings was curry and rice, everything like we'd play Saturday. And,
what's he called? The cook? He's the...
The one who's called Babaji. That's
the Babaji.
The Indian word, that is. Yeah.
And so you ate a lot of curry.
I never He's always on about curry. Yeah.
He's probably even cooked everything else.
I never particularly like curry anyway. I remember we had freshly baked bread from the barracks. That was all uh-huh. from the barracks itself, and the meat was fresh. Because now and again I'd go and collect the rations from the barracks, wherever it was.
Yeah. What were these hunting expeditions like? What were the hunting expeditions like?
Oh, they were all right, but they used to take us out on the truck. Well, Father used to go out on the truck. No, it wasn't a truck. It was a gharry. They used to go out on the gharry with the